Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, June 20, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, U.S. Immigration Debate, Separating Families, Upsetting, Unnecessary. Representatives Davis, Shimkus call on Dems to help pass bill. By Adalberto Toledo. Amid a growing outcry about children being separated from their families at the U.S.-Mexico border, GOP U.S. Representatives Rodney Davis and John Shimkus agree on one thing. Something has to change. Separating families seeking asylum is upsetting and unnecessary, Shimkus, Republican Collinsville, said Tuesday. And it's an unfortunate result of our broken immigration system and unsecured borders. Both lawmakers call on Democrats to help Republicans get over the 60-vote threshold needed to pass legislation they say would do away with the practice that has led to more than 2,000 minors being detained and separated from their immigrant parents in the past month. The House will vote this week on immigration reform proposals, and I expect that at least one of those bills will include a provision to keep families together while their asylum claims are adjudicated, Shimkus said. Davis, Republican Taylorville, urged lawmakers to leave politics and hyperbole out of this policy debate. No one wants to see families separated, he said, adding he wants lawmakers to consider other reasons a child may be separated. We cannot ignore the fact that many children coming over may not be with adults who are their parents. Trafficking of children along our borders is a very real and serious concern. Immigrants seeking asylum should come to official ports of entry instead of attempting to cross the border illegally. Champaign City Council, parking spot rules approved, budget for next fiscal year adopted. By Natalie Wickman, Champaign. Sweeping changes to regulations regarding city-owned parking spots fell one vote shy of unanimous Champaign City Council approval Tuesday. Councilwoman Clarissa Nickerson Foreman, the lone dissenter, said she believes the beefed-up rules will only push unwanted activity onto other parking lots. Tuesday's vote creates official language prohibiting activities that aren't related to parking, such as alcohol consumption, gambling, littering, and selling products or services in city-owned parking lots and metered spaces. Foreman said the presence of that kind of parking lot activity is due in part to a lack of activities for young African Americans. I'd like us to have constructive conversations about entertainment, art, and social activities for minorities, she said. Before this week's vote, there was no language in the city code specifying prohibited activities in city-owned parking areas. City Administrative Services Manager Chris Koester said that signs about the new regulations should be installed in city-owned lots in about a month. In other business Tuesday night, the city budget for the upcoming fiscal year was unanimously approved by City Council members. The budget includes money for the Champaign Public Library to open an hour earlier on Saturdays at 9 a.m. instead of 10, as well as $171,000 for firefighter grants, about $145,000 to hire Champaign Police Department officers in anticipation of retirements, and about $18,000 to make the Police Property Crimes Unit a permanent project. That unit began operating last fall after Champaign saw a spike in residential and motor vehicle burglaries from 2015 to 2016. The unit consists of two dedicated property crime officers and two dedicated property crime detectives. The council also voted to approve $300,000 in redevelopment incentive program grants for a new midtown development. The $1.67 million project, spearheaded by Red Lion, Firehouse and Clyburn bar owner Scott Cochran, is called Midtown Crossing and is planned for the corner of Water and Chester Streets. Cochran is slated to redevelop the vacant building across the street from the former Chester Street Bar, in addition to turning Water Street from University to Chester Street into an outdoor dining and gathering space. He and his companies own three of the four buildings in that area. Council members also accepted a $250,000 grant from the states to reimburse CPD purchases of officer body cameras and in-car video equipment. The department budgeted $551,733 in 2016 for 35 in-car camera systems, 125 body cameras, a digital management system, and accessories. Finalized an agreement that allows the Bristol Place Affordable Housing Development to start construction. Neighborhood Services Director Carrie Wyman said the plan is to have a groundbreaking ceremony in mid-July. Raised the city's administrative purchasing limit from $17,500 to $35,000. The limit was last revised in 2003, according to a city staff report. Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, a real gold mine. Kids honing their craft at unique summer camp thanks to grant. By Lindsay Jones, Champaign. Forget kickball and capture the flag. A cutting-edge summer camp offers chances to play Minecraft, program computers, and use 3D printers. But often, chances like this come with a price tag. Jeff Ginger knows. As the director of Champaign-Urbana Community Fab Lab, short for Fabrication Laboratory, he's watched as his University of Illinois-sponsored camps draw a similar, able-to-pay crowd every summer. One of the downsides of these camps is that they tend to be kids that are homeschooled or kids that have access to the university, he said. We wanted to get out of the university and into other populations. This year, Ginger and other Fab Lab affiliates didn't go very far. They took their programming to the Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center and organized 2 2-week summer camps around space and computer technology. For those who think it sounds too educational for summer, Ginger suggests that kids are the judges. Last week, noise in the Minecraft room was deafening, while the game design room remained quiet as kids zeroed in on their computer screens concentrating. Minecraft, a multi-platform game where users create unique worlds and experiences using virtual blocks, claims about 75 million users per month, according to its studio head. Its appeal spans generations, and it caught on with kids. In fact, it was children at the Urbana Free Library after school who taught Ginger how to play. These kids knew more about this game than I did, so I had them teach me, he said. I very quickly learned that you can import and export 3D models into it, so you can actually print stuff out of Minecraft. We built a whole camp around that series. Judge it by another of Ginger's benchmarks. finding out if interest remains peaked after a unit ends. Some of the kids get into it and want to do more with it, and that's usually a success sign, he said. It's true for Urbana Middle School 8th grader Lawrence Daniels, who said he kept thinking about what he wanted to do with Minecraft well after he transitioned to the game design portion of camp. My coolest thing was when I went up there with Minecraft, he said. I built my house and I didn't get to finish it. Ginger was full of reassurances. Since the camp's equipment, computers, 3D printers, and a router, among other items, came from an Urbana-Champaign big broadband grant, all of it will remain at UNCC after the campus formally ends, meaning Daniels and other kids can pick up right where they're left off. Ginger would like to see the camp's programming expand into classrooms, but noted there are all kinds of structural barriers, like a class having 30 students and one teacher, or only a half hour to try to implement technology like Champaign Urbana Fab Lab offers. If it can't expand via classroom, Ginger said after-school and summer sites become integral for accessibility. It becomes really important that the libraries and after-school centers end up being a place where kids learn a lot of this kind of thing, he said. Daniels and fellow UMS 8th grader Tainaya McGee both said they'd never seen or used a 3D printer prior to this summer. We got to go on Minecraft, make something, and then print it out and see it in real life, McGee said. For Ginger, the summer camps represent at least two things. First is the power of local collaboration. Janice Mitchell, the director of UNCC, provided the space, and CUB2B provided the grant, he said. It wasn't entirely just the university coming in and setting this up. And second, responsiveness to what kids actually want. We want to do sexy things like, we're going to enable kids to program supercomputers, he said. But what we really need is kids to care. This is why this stuff is important. We want to start out by playing, and that actually leads into more serious pursuits. From the local section, Illinois budget. Pay bumps for teachers now capped at 3%. Restriction on final 4 years limits salary spike impact on pensions. By Lindsay Jones. Call it a perk, call it a pension spike. Either way, it's been capped. The $38.5 billion spending budget signed by Governor Bruce Rauner on June 4 contains a provision meant to limit school districts' ability to increase teachers' pay in their final 4 years of employment, cutting allowable raises from 6% to 3%. It's not the first time it's happened. Credit a 2005 law for establishing the 6% ceiling in the first place. And as an extra incentive for districts to avoid hefty pay spikes, the state said it would penalize districts that increase salaries by more than 6% by making them pay the cost associated with higher pensions. Those who considered the pre-retirement increase a perk viewed it as a sort of offset to the state's low teacher pay. A salary increase in an educator's final years meant an increase in pension payments after retirement. Taking away that incentive is another blow to those in an already struggling public education system, said local Illinois Retired Teachers Association President Linda Meacham. It's just another way to hit teachers where it hurts, she said. It's not enough that they spend money on their own classrooms and that they're changing the retirement tiers. This is one more thing they can do to stick it to them. Critics of the practice, however, argued that it burdened taxpayers by having them bailing out the billions in pension fund failures. But one thing that critics and supporters of the practice could agree on is that the cap on pension spiking doesn't solve the bigger issues. Chad Alderman, a principal at Bellwether Education Partners, called the state's move reactionary and, in the scope of things, not a long-term solution. It's a response to the financial state the state is facing, he said. I would rather see the state have a new retirement system in place. Alderman said the current teacher retirement system is unfair. A small group of those in it, he said, would benefit exponentially at the end of their careers, but most teachers don't see that kind of payoff. There's lots of people who enter the profession and get very little, Alderman said. Some people stay around and get a lot. This is capping off the generosity for a small group, but it's not addressing the issue at large. The issue at large is pension reform. The teachers' retirement system, the largest in the state, is, according to a 2017 Illinois Department of Insurance report, underfunded by at least $71 billion. Alderman also added that Tier 2 teachers, those who started paying into the retirement system after January 1, 2011, have fed money into a broken system. At some point, they're going to have to realize that pouring more people into this structure isn't going to work, Alderman said. Tier 2 is so ungenerous that by 2021, the state is at risk of not meeting Social Security. They will have to revisit that pension system by 2021. Regardless of the legislative solution, some people fear that the provision will dissuade others from becoming educators. Jim Reed, Director of Government Relations for the Illinois Education Association, said it could have a chilling effect on the profession. I think people looking at the profession will see this as a way we devalue our profession, he said. We seem to keep doing things that speak counter to all the rhetoric we hear about legislatures valuing public educators. They put in provisions like this that do just the opposite. Jim Day, redistricting rulings put Madigan in Catbird's seat. Any Illinoisians who thought or hoped the U.S. Supreme Court was going to rescue them from Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan has to be disappointed today. That's because the High Court on Monday decided that, for now at least, it will not intervene in gerrymandering issues despite arguments that powerful politicians unconstitutionally draw federal and state legislative district lines to suit their own narrow interests rather than the broad public interest. Ruling in cases from Wisconsin and Maryland, the court decided to leave the status quo in place, and as a consequence, the politicians in charge of choosing their constituents rather than being elected by the voters. If that sounds harsh, consider this disturbing statistic. Illinois will, theoretically at least, be electing legislators to the state House and Senate in November. Thanks to Madigan's gerrymandered legislative maps, just 77 of 157 of the elections will be contested, meaning that voters actually have a choice between two candidates. Of the 118 House seats, 54 races are contested. Of the 39 Senate seats up, just 23 races are contested. Some other races are contested in name only, because candidates from one party have no chance to win in a district drawn to elect a member of the other party. So while Madigan, the veteran Chicago politician and godfather of Illinois politics, may be engaged in faux groveling before the Me Too movement, women's movement in Springfield, he's still the straw that stirs the redistricting drink. The good news is that despite the high court's ruling, Illinois is in no worse shape than it was before the Supreme punted on the issue. By a 9-0 vote, the court held that the Wisconsin Democrats challenging the Republican-drawn map lacked standing to sue because they could not identify an individual injury that gave them legal recourse. The bad news, of course, is that Illinoisians who want to put an end to gerrymandering by either party remain in desperate shape. The challenge is definitely as hard as it was before, said Jeff Rains, communications director for Change Illinois. We can't count on the Supreme Court to fix this problem in 2018. Instead, Rains said voters will have to continue to pressure legislative candidates to support and call for a vote on a fair map amendment to the Illinois Constitution. The proposed amendment would strip the majority party of map drawing authority and transfer it to a bipartisan citizen commission. Some states, including Ohio, already have moved in that direction. Others are in the process of doing so. But Rains said it's a tough fight everywhere, not just in Illinois, because self-interested politicians are adamantly opposed to giving up this tremendous power. Other states haven't had it easy either. It's a tough mountain to climb, he said. But it's especially tough in Illinois, where Madigan and his loyal first mate, Senate President John Cullerton, have used their power to block a vote on the issue in their chambers. It remains to be seen just how reformers can get around that near dictatorial control. Despite hope for a court victory, the judicial route always has been problematic because it's unclear what solution the courts would impose if they find legislative gerrymandering to be unconstitutional. That's why, in an editorial headline supremely unhelpful, the Chicago Tribune dismissed the idea that the judiciary holds a solution to the redistricting problem. It asserted that somehow voters are going to have to do it themselves. Let's pretend the Supreme Court had gone the distance on the Wisconsin case, smiling on the plaintiff's proffered metric to measure partisan cheating. That wouldn't stop the Madigans of this world from gaming the legislative maps. It would simply create a new set of obstacles. Politicians would test them, citizens would sue. Keep in mind that we're 2 years away from the 2020 census and still tied up in court over maps that are based on the 2010 census, the Trib stated. While the high court sent the Wisconsin and Maryland cases back to the lower courts, it continues to face gerrymandering issues. Next in line, awaiting action or non-action, is a legal challenge to congressional redistricting in 2016 by North Carolina's Republican-controlled General Assembly. Legislative redistricting takes place every 10 years after the decennial census to accommodate population changes. So Illinois isn't due for another round of redistricting until 2021. But the fall election is crucial because of gubernatorial contest between Republican incumbent Governor Bruce Rauner and Democrat J.B. Pritzker. Madigan is moving heaven and earth to elect Pritzker, so he'll have another free hand in redistricting, just as he did in 2011, when former Democratic Governor Pat Quinn held office. Both Rauner and Pritzker have pledged to veto any gerrymandered maps passed by what certainly will continue to be a Democratic-controlled legislature. But Quinn, who said the same thing years ago, signed the Madigan maps that gave Democrats supermajority or near supermajority control of both the Senate and House. Anne Gallivan, a life remembered, horsewoman prized for spirit. Her horse carts were museum worthy. By Therese Pocourtney. Champagne. A Champagne woman is being remembered as a supportive wife, devoted mother, and lifelong lover of horses. Horses were always a really important part of her life, said Lyle Gallivan, son of Anne Gallivan. Mrs. Gallivan died Thursday at age 92. She loved every moment she had to spend with the horses and always had a great compassion for them, he said. A native of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Mrs. Gallivan was working on her degree in sociology at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., when she met her future husband. She married Jim Gallivan in 1950 and moved to his hometown of Champaign in 1951. Despite a growing family, the Gallivans produced six children, Mrs. Gallivan cultivated her passion for horseback riding in central Illinois. She had other talents as well. When she wasn't spending time in their barn, Mrs. Gallivan was in her cookware shop, Le Gourmet, with owners Julie Hood and Louise Morrison, teaching Champaign residents how to use kitchen tools, her son said. Her youngest daughter, Nancy Cleveland, inherited her mother's love for horses and as a child was inspired by seeing her 50-year-old mother riding. In 1987, Mrs. Gallivan was honored as Illinois Horsewoman of the Year by the Illinois Quarter Horse Association. When she could no longer ride, Mrs. Gallivan became a member of the Carriage Association of America. Helping to keep his wife connected to her beloved horses, Mr. Gallivan restored a 20th-century John Deere horse cart for her. The cart, now on display at the Museum of the Grand Prairie at Lake of the Woods Park in Mahomet, was driven in parades in Fisher and Seymour and remains in good condition. The younger Gallivan said he's considered renovating the cart as a tribute to his mother. Mrs. Gallivan's first cart horse was donated to the Brookfield Zoo. Recently, two of her prized ponies were accepted into a program in Maryland, where they will be trained for pair driving competitions. Cleveland said that although her father was wary of encouraging his wife's hobby, the couple supported each other through every chapter of their lives. Mr. Gallivan was active in several charities, such as the St. Vincent de Paul Society and the United Way. He and his wife also contributed to the University of Illinois and helped launch the Atkins Tennis Center. Cleveland said her mother's greatest attribute was how she built a life supporting others while remaining out of the spotlight. She was a big supporter of everything my father accomplished, even though he was recognized for a lot he did in Champaign, Cleveland said. She was someone who was always there helping him do that. She enabled him to do everything. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, June 20, 2018. Please stay tuned.